Thank you, Alan. Amen. I love that song. Thank you, Alan and Emma and Debbie. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 13. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we have our healing service, and I encourage your involvement there. We'll be praying for anybody who needs healing. Our focus, we especially want to pray for people who feel oppressed. And if you know what Luke chapter 4 says, as Jesus begins his ministry, he begins it with these words, quoting out of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," that the Lord's favor is here. And so part of the ministry of Jesus is delivering people out of oppression. And that oppression can come in many forms. It could be a form of depression. It could be depression itself. It could just be a drag in your spirit. You just don't feel the same energy, the same vitality, a heaviness, a dryness. There's not much victory. It just seems like it's just you're in a hard place, that kind of oppression. And so tonight we'll be praying for all, but our focus will be on praying for those that feel oppressed. And so here's what I'd like for you to do. If there's anyone that you know that needs prayer that cannot make it tonight, I want you to do this. Take the blue card out in front of you, put their name, if you don't feel like putting their name, just put an initial, and tell us what specifically we can pray for, just in a sentence or a word or two, not a paragraph. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for them tonight. Now, if they can be reached by phone and you feel like it would be okay for us to call them by phone to pray for them, then put their phone number down. That's great. We pray for people over the phone. The last two healing services, heard one lady right there as we're praying, God begins to touch her and begin to heal her. It was just a fabulous testimony. So it doesn't matter. Location is important sometimes, but hey, if we get them over the phone, that's great. So please do that. We'll put those, take those prayer requests. We'll pray for them over the phone, the ones that desire that, and then the other ones we'll have on the overhead for us that are just, if you're just here, just as part of the audience, you'll be praying for them. And then, of course, we'll have people down front and we'll be praying for them. So we're going to be praying for people three separate ways, different ways. Here's the thing, if you come tonight, you're not going to spectate. I mean, you'll be and you'll watch and that type of thing, but you will participate. You'll be praying for the people on the screen, as well as if you have leadership to come down front and pray for a person or two, we'll give you that freedom to do that as well. It's important to have collective faith. Individual faith can let's say, move a molehill, all right? But I'm telling you, corporate faith, that is congregational faith, can move mountains. I mean, can move a whole mountain range. And so I encourage you, be in the room so that we can see God do some great things tonight at 6 o'clock. Take those blue cards, and when you leave today, I would say put them in that box back there. There's an acrylic box, but I don't have the key to it. So, no, you do? Oh, you've got the key to it. Good. All right. Yeah, look, it's back here as you're exiting. Put it in that box. Thank you, Darren, for that display. And we'll get those requests recorded. Okay, stand up with me. Stand up with me. And this is what I want you to do. Find out the names of the person on your right and left, even if you have to go across the aisle, okay? Find out and remember their names. Don't just find out their names. Remember it. Remember their names. Okay, enough visiting. That's enough. All right. Okay. Here we go. Y'all keep standing. Yeah, I need to get that horn over here. Hey. Oh, no. Not yet. Okay. I'm gonna sick the dog on you here if you don't settle down, okay, over here. So, hey, you weren't supposed to sit down. I'm sorry. Stand back up. Okay, here's what I want you to grab that person's hand on your right and left-hand side. We're just going to do this just momentarily. It won't be a long hand touch. No long hand touch. Okay, remember their names? Remember their names? Okay. Come on, go across the aisles if you can. There you go. All right, here we go. Y'all repeat after me, and you're going to fill in the blank for the names, okay? Father, I pray for... Okay. Very good. That they will have the courage to take the second chance. And that you will give them grace
to give a second chance.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. That's good. So this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, giving and taking a second chance. Aren't you glad for second chances?
Yes.
Amen? Second chances are great. I was thinking about in my life a second chance that was given to me that was very, very impactful. And even today, as I think about it, it almost makes me cry. I was in my senior year at Glen Rose High School, and I was part of the Vocational Agriculture Department, which is... It is an FFA chapter, the Future Farmers of America. And I had planned to go into farming or ranching and that type of thing. So in that agricultural class, we had land judging teams. And its name explains what it was. And so we would go to these competitions and do these land judging, these exercises. And we would be competing against people all across the state. And there would always be a group of, you would have five in your group, and they would take the top four scores. And I'm not bragging. I usually did really pretty good. But for whatever reason, the previous two competitions leading up to the large area competition did not do well at all. And so here we are at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and our vocational agriculture teacher pulls kind of the leader aside of who'd had the best scores through the year. His name was Weldon, and he said, "Weldon, I'm going to make you the captain of the land judging team. You can pick four to be on your team." And there was like, I don't know, 10, 15 of us in a room. I thought, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do it, but I had not proven myself. And Weldon said, "I choose Scott." Oh, man, he chose me. I'm on the team. And I was so happy. And our team did great that year. In fact, I believe we won, we either came in first or second place in area, and so we went to the state competition. And I did so well in that competition that I got a scholarship to Tarleton State University. All because a guy gave me a second chance. And that's humbling. It's very humbling. But our God is the God of second chances. Amen?
Amen?
He is the God of second chances. And we see in the life of Mark how he was given a second chance. Last week we looked at being second satisfied, and this week we're going to look at Mark's life and how he was given a second chance and how he took that second chance. Folks, we should never write people off. Amen?
Amen.
We should never write people off. It's never too late. And Acts chapter 13, we read what happens with Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were the early church leaders, and they were out doing a missionary journey, sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. And so they take along Mark. Mark was the assistant. If you were here last week, we talked about him being the under-oarsman, the guy below the deck, so to speak, that's just doing the grunt work. Well, in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, it says this about Mark. It says that Paul and his companions then left for Paphos by the ship for Pamphylia, landing in the port town of Perga. There, John Mark, and that's the Mark of the Gospels, the Gospel writer, there John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. We don't know why he left them. It just sounded like, hey, I'm just going, I'm leaving. But we find out what happens later in Acts chapter 15, why he really left. So turn to Acts chapter 15. I believe it's begin with verse 36. And so now Paul and Barnabas meet up again. They say, let's go to revisit those towns we went to earlier and encourage them. So Acts chapter 15 says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back. Let's visit the towns. Verse 37, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along Mark. But what happens? But Paul disagreed strongly. Say, disagreed strongly.
Disagreed.
since John Mark had done what? What do your translations say? He left. He deserted them. He didn't just go back home. He walked out of the ministry and said, I'm over. It's over for me. He deserted them there in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp, say so sharp, that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. I mean, this was a huge disagreement. The wording that's used here is the same wording we use when we talk about almost going to have a fight with a person. A schism that leads, it's the yelling, it's the argument, it's the anger, it's the buildup right before you're about to hit the guy. I mean, have you ever had that kind of argument with a person where it just, things started right here? No, we're not going to take, I want to take Mark. No, let's don't take Mark. Oh man, he's my cousin, he'll be okay. No, we're not taking Mark. Come on, Paul, give him a second chance. I'm not giving him a second chance. I'm telling you, we can't count on him. Yes, we can count on him. He'll stand with me. That's where they are, right there. Right there. So much so that Paul said, I'm done. I'll take Silas, you take Barnabas. Good luck on that. And off they went. Barnabas gave him a second chance. Hey, do y'all know about Barnabas? Do you know what Barnabas' real name is? Not the interpretation of his name, but what his real name is in the Bible. Acts chapter 4, his real name is Joseph. Joseph. But they called him, they gave him the nickname. They said, we're going to give you a nickname. Anybody got a nickname? Anybody got a nickname? Okay. We're going to give him a nickname. His nickname is Barnabas. And what does Barnabas mean? Some of you, y'all know? It means bar, which means son of. Barnabas, Nabas, encourager. Son of encouragement. Because that's what he did. Acts chapter 4, they gave him that name because he gave money to help out the early church. And he encouraged them. Oh, thank you, thank you. What an encouragement. Who was the guy that went to Paul after Paul's conversion? It was Barnabas. Everybody else said, we're staying away from that guy. He kills Christians. There's no way. I don't care if he is a Christian. I'm not going to get close to him. Barnabas said, come on, give him a second chance. Put his arm around him. Introduced him to everybody. The Gentiles were coming to faith in Christ. The Jewish believers were saying, I'm not sure if that's real or not. We'll send up Barnabas up there. Barnabas gets up there. Hey, there are Christians. Woohoo! It says he encouraged them. Can you believe that? And then in another place it says that Barnabas went and he encouraged them. And now what is he doing here in Acts chapter 15? What's he doing? Encouraging. He's giving his cousin a second chance. And we serve the God of a second chance. Amen? Here Jesus is. I mean, you see it all throughout Scripture, but I mean, you see it most poignantly. There on the cross, Mark and Matthew, it says, of course, there are two thieves that are being crucified with Jesus. It says, Mark and Matthew, they are abusing Jesus. They are ridiculing Jesus. They are rebuking Jesus. If you're the Son of God, why don't you do something? Change the situation. But then Luke says, at some point as they're being crucified, one of the thieves looks at the other and says, look, would you just shut up over there? I mean, just shut up. We're being crucified justly. He didn't do anything wrong. Jesus, will you remember me when you go into your kingdom? And what did Jesus say to him? Y'all, what did he say? Today, in just a few hours, you'll be with me in paradise. Second chance all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Some people say, Jesse, you know, you're going to the Marines. Some people say, there's no such thing as foxhole conversions, you know. No such thing as bedside conversions. That's a bunch of nonsense. There is. God is the God of second chance to the very point of death. He was with that thief who hours earlier was mocking him, but something changed. He saw something in Jesus, realized he was the Son of God, being crucified unjustly. He said, man, I need a second chance here. And Jesus said, sure, I'll give it to you. God is always giving people second chances. And so today, we're going to focus upon this topic of the second chance. Read this with me. People of grace demonstrate there is always hope. Let's say it again. People of grace. And so we're going to look at the steps of giving a person a second chance based upon how Jesus gave Peter a second chance. Mark was given a second chance, and we've all been blessed by it. Amen? We have the Gospel of Mark because that second chance was given to him. And so as we look at how Jesus gives Peter a second chance, I want you to remind you what I said last week. Mark was Peter's writer. He was the scribe. He followed Peter around, wrote down all the stories, turned it into a book, a gospel, the good news, and then sent it out to everybody. And so there was this intimate connection between Mark and Peter. And so as we look at giving people a second chance, I want you to see four stages here, the pathway of hope. The very first one is this. All right, read that with me. Grace to all, always. The basis for giving others a second chance is that we have been shown grace by God, and therefore we show grace to others. Amen? Come, amen? We've been shown grace, therefore what do? We show grace. Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken over. The context of that is about forgiveness. Its application also is to money, to everything, as Jeff said. But he said, look, if you give abundantly, if you give abundant grace, if you give abundant forgiveness, guess what you get in return? Abundant grace, abundant forgiveness. Grace is simply undeserved favor. It's when somebody bumps up against you. It's when somebody's angry or it's when somebody does something dumb. And instead of reacting negatively, you just say, you just blow it off. You say, that's no big deal. No big deal. I'm okay with that. And you just move on. That kind of grace. Grace to all, always. God is patient with us. He thinks the best of us. He desires the best for us. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to live in abundance. And so we treat people with that same grace. We want the same thing to happen to them. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus took Peter. Here Peter is. He's a fail. I mean, Peter's arrogant. He's pushy. He's petty. He's a failure. And Jesus kept doing what? He kept just shoveling stuff at him. What did Jesus keep shoveling at him? Wasn't manure. He kept shoveling grace. He said, I'm going to keep shoveling grace at this guy. Just keep shoveling grace. One day it will rub off. He will change. And indeed he did. Grace to all, always. Look at me. People are always going to let you down. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Is Pastor Scott going to let you down?
Yep.
Amen. Is your spouse going to let you down? Amen. Yeah. Take a risk there. Will your kids let you down?
Amen.
Oh, I see. There you go. Okay, good. Will your parents let you down?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to let you down. Everybody's going to let you down. So it's always grace to all, always. And then sometimes we just let it go at that, but then sometimes the next step has to happen. And that is this. It's candor with kindness. Say that with me. Candor with kindness. We see this with Jesus as he talks to Peter and tells him that he is going to fail, that Peter will fail. And I want you to listen to how Jesus speaks to him. It's found in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Candor, what is candor? It's the quality of being frank and open and candid with sincerity and compassion. I'm open, I'm frank, but it's with compassion and kindness I'm saying these things. And so Jesus is exactly that way with Peter. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus is about to go through the terrible crucifixion event. But before then, before he's taken off to these trials, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Now, Simon was just another name for Peter. So he's saying, Peter, Maybe that was his middle name, Simon Peter. No, no, it would be his first name. Okay, so saying, Simon, Satan's asked to sift you. Heads up, boy. Heads up. Candor. I'm being open with you. And I also want you to know, I've pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. What is inherent in what Jesus is saying here? You're going to fail. You're going to fail. But what's also said, you will return. And so it's this candor with compassion. It's this candor with kindness. You're going to be okay. I am standing alongside you. And then Peter says the most arrogant of all things, what? Me? Me? I'm not going to fail. I'll die. I'll go to prison. And then I don't know what Jesus looked like when he responded to Peter, but he had to almost have like a half smile on his face when he said these words. Oh, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. Three times that you even know me. It's candor with kindness. Let me tell you how things are really going to be. When people need that second chance, when you're giving a person a second chance, not only are you showing them grace, but at times you have to have candor with them. Sometimes before you give that person a second chance, you have to have that heart-to-heart. You have to sit down and say, look, here, I just want you to know, this is what happened. When you didn't fulfill your end of the bargain last time, here's how it affected me. Here's what happened to the family. Here's what happened in the workplace. Here's what happened to the team. Here's what you're doing. Here's its impact, its personal impact. But I want you to know I love you. I care for you. I'm just going to speak honest to you. What does Proverbs 24 say? Read it with me. An honest answer is like the kiss. It's friendship. Speaking honestly to people with tenderness, with compassion, with grace, when you speak honestly to them, it is a sign of friendship. I mean, what if Jesus had said, you know, I'm going to keep this to myself. I'm not going to say anything to Peter. I'm just going to hold it. Here's your justification. Look at me. Some of you, you're showing grace to people, and here's your justification of not having candor with them, is this. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt them. Ooh, if I say that, it's going to hurt them. It's really going to hurt our relationship. I can't say that. I can't do that. Ooh. What if Jesus had done that with Peter? What would have happened to Peter? Where would Peter be at the end of the day if Jesus had not told him, you will deny me, it will be okay, you will return, and you will encourage your brothers? What if he did not have that in the back of his mind? All he had done is denied Jesus three times. What do you think what Peter would have done? He would not have returned at a minimum, and he might have done exactly what Judas did, committed suicide. How could I have done this? I'll just kill myself. But in the back of his mind, he had those words, it's really going to be okay. So you see, that's what candor does. It lets people know how things really are. You're not doing the person any good when you give them a second chance without being candid about the reason why you're giving them a second chance. Now, sometimes it's easy. You just let it go. But then sometimes you have to have this conversation. Jesus showed incredible grace to his disciples. I did this study since we're going through Mark. I think 12 times he rebukes them. 12 times. He didn't do it at the beginning of his ministry, but towards the end of his ministry, as they got closer and closer to the end, man, he was very direct with them. Very direct. Because he did not want them to get off the right path. He wanted them to stay true. So he corrected them and did it with love. They knew he loved them. I'm a part of this clinical pastoral education group. And so tomorrow at between 6 and 8, I meet with them online. And here I am. I'm seeing these guys. And we do, we call this thing a verbatim. It's one of the things we do. And so we write down a counseling experience we have. and then we critique each other about how we handle that counseling experience. Guess who's up tomorrow? Me. I've already done this once, and we do it, of course, every week with one of the different chaplains. So mine's tomorrow. And I've got a hard one that I'm going to be sharing with them. Hey, nobody in the church, okay? Nobody here, okay? Some of you think, is it about me? No, it's not about you. Somebody else outside the church. And I want to tell you something. I cannot wait to get the feedback. Stephanie will tell you, this thing has riveted me, this conversation that I had with this person. Honestly, it was one of those I was like, oh, I can't believe I just went there with that person. And I want to hear what my 7 friends say about where I went with them. And I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Scott, boy, that was really good. Scott, man, why did you go there? I can't believe you said that. I want that. That is a kiss of friendship. That's candor. And I know they have compassion and kindness for me. They are thinking the best about me because they want me to be the best minister that I can be. We have to do it with compassion, though. There are some people that got candor, right? You know those people. You stay away from those people, right? Because they have no compassion. They got candor without compassion. I'll tell you what I believe. Here's why you're wrong. Admit it and get right. There's no compassion. Why is there compassion? Because compassion is the relational element in the whole thing. Candor with compassion. Jesus had it with Peter. The third thing that sometimes you have to go through with people is this one. And that is, you have to have a clarifying, what I call a clarifying conversation. In other words, you have to clarify now the relationship and the steps forward and the expectations, what the future is going to be like, what the problem is, whatever it may be. It is a clarifying conversation. Jesus had this with Peter. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. Jesus dies. He's buried. He's raised from the dead. He interacts generally with the disciples, but he has not had a clarifying conversation with Peter yet until John chapter 21. And so now he has this one-on-one dialogue, and he clarifies some things with Peter. Turn there if you would. John chapter 21, begin with verse 15. Jesus is giving Peter a second chance. And I want you to notice the context of this. John 21, verse 15, after breakfast. Say, after breakfast. Okay. If you know the entire chapter, they're all hanging out together. It's not like Jesus took Peter to the Waffle House and they're just having this little conversation here, okay? It's Jesus, Peter, all the disciples, and probably a bunch of other people too. They're just hanging out. So there's at least 12, possibly up to 30 people. And after breakfast, Jesus has this conversation with Peter in public. Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. He was hurt that Jesus would ask him that question now a third time. And he said, oh, Lord, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. He was giving Peter a second chance, and after Peter publicly denied Jesus, Jesus had him publicly reclaim his devotion. He wanted Peter to hear himself say, I love you, just as he said, I don't know you. Jesus wanted to hear, I believe Jesus wanted to hear people say, Peter say, I love you, because he heard Peter say, I deny him. The disciples knew that Peter had denied Jesus. They needed to hear Peter saying, I love him. I'm committed to him. I'll give my life to him. Let's clarify some things, Peter. Where do you stand with me? Jesus, I love you. Jesus heard that. Peter heard that. The disciples heard it. It was clarifying. But not only that, does he clarify his devotion, he clarifies his call. And now, Peter, I need you to do this for me. Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Take care. That's your call. You're the leader. Take care of the lambs. Take care of the people. Shepherd them. Peter clarified his commitment to Jesus and his call as a leader. In other words, if you want a second chance, Jesus is saying, then this is what things need to look like. I need to hear that you're committed to me, and they need to hear, and you need to hear that you're the leader. And it needs to be something that we're both in agreement with. You see, I believe that Barnabas had that conversation with Mark. I believe he sat Mark down and said, Mark, let's talk. Mark, you left us high and dry. Mark, it got bad out there while you were gone. We needed help in a number of areas. We couldn't do as much of our ministry because you weren't there. Our arms, our legs, we were limited because you ran away. Now, Mark, I'm telling you, if you want it to go with me this time, you better stick with me. Here's the call. Here's the commitment. Are you going to be able to stand with us in the day of persecution? Let's clarify what you're supposed to do. I believe they had that clarifying conversation. Jesus did this with Peter. I heard you deny me three times. I want to hear that you love me three times. And I also want you to know this is what I need from you. So the application for you in some of your situations, you need to ask yourself, in these situations where you're giving a person a second chance, what is it that needs to be clarified? Expectations, roles, what the future is, what you want, the responsibilities of the other person, what needs to be clarified? And the final thing that needs to be given in most situations is this one. Read it with me. There is, say it again.
There's hope.
Amen. There's hope. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. So he says to Peter, Peter, go feed my sheep. You're the leader. Take care of them. And Peter had to wonder, me? The guy who denied you three times? I'm a hypocrite. I got nothing to give here. I really don't even want to be around you guys. I mean, I want to go back to fishing. You want me to do this? How can I do this? I don't even know where everybody went to. We're not connected anymore. What have I got to say? And Jesus, right before he leaves, he gives them this hope. And he says in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, or verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. There's hope. You will be able to do this thing. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. What's Peter doing? Feeding the sheep. In Acts chapter 2, the end of it, it says, and they are growing by the apostles' teaching. He is giving them truth. The man who denied Jesus, who's now taking the second chance, has been empowered with hope, and he is feeding the sheep. And so we leave people with that hope. Listen, y'all look at me. I'm about done with this section, and then I've got something incredibly important to say. There's some of you that you're giving a person, it's not just the second chance, but maybe the fifth chance or the 20th chance or the 30th chance. I don't know what it is. You need to have that clarifying conversation with them. But you also, some of you may have to say, look, our relationship's not going to be the same anymore. There's too much trust has been broken. We cannot relate to each other the way we used to. It's going to take a lot of time for that trust to be rebuilt, but I want you to know there is always hope with God. There's always hope with God. You can change through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our life might can get back together, but even if it doesn't, your life can get back together. God can touch you. He can change you. I've seen it with other people. He can do the same with you. That's hope. Amen?
Amen.
Even in hard situations, with the thief on the cross, a moment to die, there's hope, brother. You may not be able to go back and change your past and change what's happened, and it may not, nothing. But right there at that moment, there is still hope. Now, I want to say one more thing, and I'm done. And this is an important thing. So that's giving people a second chance, but now there's taking the second chance. Whenever I was working on this part of the message, I felt the burden of the Lord come upon me in a very strong way. And the only way I know to explain it is just the seriousness hits me. And what I'm about to say, if the preacher ever gets up on the pew, you need to listen, okay? Now, I'm not going to preach here because I'll just spit on you, okay? That's not a good thing. But I'm telling you, what I'm about to say, you need to listen to. And that's about taking the second chance. Not only was Mark given a second chance, but he took it. He could have been, look at me, he could have been so ashamed and broken. I blew it. I had the opportunity. I made their lives harder. I ruined my relationship with Paul. We will never be able to talk again. I hurt them. The Christian community is talking about me. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't fulfill my obligation. I said I would stand with them in the day of conflict, and I didn't. I ran away like a little kid. And what did Paul say about Mark? Don't trust him. This kid ran away. Don't put any more of your time into him. It's a waste of time. Be a good steward. Find somebody else. Silas we can count on. There are a couple of other folks we could count on. Not Mark. He proved he's not trustworthy, Barnabas. Whether Mark heard that conversation directly or indirectly through somebody else, he heard it. Have you ever had somebody speak those kinds of things over you? Don't trust them. They've broken so many promises. They'll never get it right. What? And then when you think to yourself, I think I'm going to try that again. I think I'm going to step out in another area. I think I'm going to take a second chance. And you think, I can't. I remember what he said about me. That's true. That's right. So what gave him the courage to get beyond the words of Paul and the shame of failing the Christian community and take the second chance? Peter blew it. And who did he blow it with? Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm giving you a second chance. And Peter and Mark worked together, and Mark probably thought to himself, listen, if Peter blew it and Jesus gave him a second chance, Paul, who are you? I'm taking that second chance. He took the second chance. And some of you today, I'm telling you, I'm talking to some of you, maybe ministry related, school, athletics, relationship related, I don't know, whatever it is, the Lord Jesus Himself is saying to you right now, take the second chance. Yeah, you blew it, you messed up, but go ahead. Take the second chance. You're letting things that are keeping you from taking a second chance. You're letting this stuff from the past, the shame, the whatever, the money you lost, the words that have been spoken to you. I'm not sure if I should or shouldn't. I'm telling you, the Lord is saying to some of you today, take it. Take the second chance. You say, it's just going to be a repeat. I'm just going to end up doing the same thing. It's just the same people. You may have to reformulate, come up with another plan, realign yourself with some other people, go back, humble yourself, ask for an apology. I don't know. But the Lord is saying, would you take the second chance? It may not look like it did in the past. Things may be so messed up in the past, it can't look like that. You're going to have to do something else, something more drastic, but you need to take a second chance. Some of you are sitting at a dead end right now. You're at a dead end. You think to yourself, I guess this is the way it's always going to be. I've tried enough. But God is saying, no, today, take the second chance. There's a new opportunity. Do the radical thing. Quit being piecemeal about some of this stuff. In Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says, for God's gifts and calls can never be withdrawn. Speaking specifically about Israel, but I'm telling you that the application is to all of us. God has given some of you dreams and visions and desires and giftings, abilities, all these kinds of things. They've sat on the back burner or you haven't used them the way you need to use them. And the Lord said, they are still there. There is still opportunity. Just go back, pick them up, and start walking in a new way. God wants you to take the second chance. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Woo! That's right. Take the second chance. I want you to watch this video as we close out the service. And I want you to see the dramatic power of a second chance. And it's very, very important that you catch the very first part of this video to see the drama of it.
Ndakwinginze mbabarira natemaguye murumuna wawe nakoresheje umuro wanjye nemaguru mugabo wawe kugeza afa kugeza umwica sinihanganye nica umukuba wawe ariko none nuzuye gahinda kubyo nakoze imana
kubabarira n'Imana ikubabarira
Who do you need to extend a second chance to? There may be someone you need to have this clarifying conversation with. Speak with candor and kindness. And who of you today needs to take that second chance? Like that man did. I can't even imagine that. But he says, God's given me a second chance. And that's the good news for all of us here. There is that opportunity. Would you stand with me? Pray for those, if you remember their names, on your right and left, that they would have the grace to give a second chance. They would speak with candor or have a clarifying conversation or just give a person hope. And also pray that today, if they need to, they would take that second chance. Do that hard thing if it means going back and asking forgiveness, owning up to something. They would do whatever it takes. to begin this next new step. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the second chance. We thank you that there's always an opportunity with you to begin anew. The old is gone, the new has come. We thank you for that reality. We thank you, Lord, that you have come to set us free. And I pray for those today that are just locked into an old way and an old way of thinking and living, that today they would begin to take the steps to break free of that. You are with them. The Lord wants you to know He is with you. So give them much grace and perseverance to take that second step. And for people here who've been burned time and time again by giving second, third, and multiple chances to people, I pray that you give them grace to have those clarifying conversations with the people that maybe have been taking advantage of them. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let me speak the benediction, the blessing over you. If you need prayer, some of our prayer team members will be down front to pray with you, whatever your need. From Psalm chapter 25, I want to speak this blessing. If you're here for the first time, we have a gift that we'd like to provide for you, and I'll be in the back with my wife in the atrium to give that gift. Okay, Psalm 25, I'm personalizing it here. May the Lord show you the right path. May He point out the road for you to follow. May He lead you by His truth and teach you. For He is the God who saves you. All day long, put your hope in Him. The Lord, He is good. He will do what is right. He will show you the proper path so that you will not go astray. Amen.